Welcome back to our conversation with Lace.
It's good to be back.
What would you say for people that have kids that are shameful about their kid being autistic, or they aren't opening up about it or talking about it? What are some helpful things?
What would I say to the parents?
Yeah, because some of the kids are young, or just like, even not just the parents, but like a person finds out they're autistic in their 30s. And because I feel like you have a very beautiful view on it.
Okay. First of all, autism is not something to be ashamed of. I will say that. Your child, if you have children, your child isn't broken. Okay. I have a nephew and I refer to him as my son. Not, you know, not to him, but
yeah.
I see him as my son since I can't have kids. I would say that autism is not, it's a word that's okay to say. You can say it. That a child that's autistic, it's made by the, first of all, God the Father made your child this way. All right? Made the child this way. And it's okay. And also, you know, your child, this is a beautiful thing, and it's okay. That's what I want to say about that. And your child being this way, your child might not say what a neurotypical says. Your child might not do what a neurotypical does. Neurotypical does. It doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it different. And I want to say that, and I'm going to say that till I can no longer be here.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's just nothing to be ashamed of. You know, and the people that don't want to say that, I mean, like in schools and things, you know, you're not allowing your kid to, I think, get services because you're so afraid to say that. There's nothing to be afraid of, really. And I think if you're worried about your child being limited, you know, it's you, the parent, that's limiting the child by not allowing yourself to say the word autism,
yeah,
or being autistic. Your shame and your silence is allowing yourself to limit your child, and I think that's not a good thing to do.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. How do you feel like things would have been different for you? I guess if, you know, it would have been detected earlier, or you noticed it earlier. I feel like it wasn't as much of a thing as us when we were growing up.
Well, you know, autism did exist in the early years of life. It did, but people weren't aware of it.
Yes.
How would it, you know, I think if I would have been discovered as being autistic, I think that, and let me try this again.
Yeah.
That it might, would have been more accepted. I don't know. I think that it might have been accepted more. I'm not sure. You're asking that how would have things?
Yes, like how things would have been like a little bit different for you.
How would they have been different? I think that I think I probably would have been probably accepted more. Probably. I honestly don't. I think I probably would have been more accepted more by other people. Probably. I really don't. I don't know, but I think that that's the answer that I have, that I probably would have been accepted more or more understood, I think.
Yeah.
But that's it there, that I probably would have been accepted more.
Yeah.
And understood more. And my brain, would have been understood more.
Yeah, you would have understood yourself a little bit more, probably,
yeah,
right?
And and I would have been understood more by myself, but by other people, because I would be quoting everything, like trying to memorize stuff in school, and they would say, "We don't want you to do that." Well, that's all I can give you.
Yeah.
It's not like I was trying to, you know, like take things from other sources. I was trying to memorize it and trying to get it right.
You're trying to get through school. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
What has been, is there struggles with like friendships and getting friends and having friends long term?
Yeah, that's going to be I can get friends, no problem, but I would say that my mates in Westover, they understand, but I think I think that when you find people that don't understand, it's like I have to explain to them, look, sometimes I need time, you know, to recharge. But to answer your question a little bit more, that when I was in school, I had trouble finding friends and keeping them. But that's going to be a continuing struggle with people that are autistic, because it can be taxing on the mind, really, on the brain, really, because you have to continuously mask, really.
Yeah.
And things like that. Here are lovely people, everybody, you know, the people that understand that I'm autistic, they get it, you know.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Westover is amazing in that way and accepting.
And, you know, my mom, back to her, when I would be in school, they would want me to attend all these events, and then I would crash because they didn't get it. You know, they didn't understand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I finally told her a couple, what was it, months ago. I said, Mom, I don't need what you need. I don't need all that interaction, you know, stop, you know.
I love that you know that about yourself, though.
Yeah, I had to.
That's important.
I had to find that out, and, you know. Mm-hmm.
What would you say, going back to parents again, you know, they know their kid's autistic, they've accepted it, but just helping them navigate the friendship world with their autistic kid, yeah.
The friendship world, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just like getting friends and helping them navigate friends, and because I know that's probably hard.
Okay, let me think a minute here. Processing, please wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back to my school days. Fine. not really. But if they can find one friend that is a true friend now, not one that's going to say stuff and they have to iron it out, what's not true, what's not. There's got to be a true friend now, all right? If they can find one and they're happy with them and you're happy with them, let's say you're, let's say, no. If they can find one friend, okay, and you're happy with them and they're happy with them and, you know, and that works, then great. They don't need a whole bunch of friends. They don't need a whole group of people to wear them down, because, you know, I had an experience with all these friends. She really turned out to be, she pretended to be my friend. I'll just say that.
Okay.
And that's it. I don't want to go into all that. But, I would just say one or two friends. I don't, you know, because what if I'm going to use, I'll use just a name because I can.
Yeah.
So what if Johnny or Jimmy, right, is autistic, right? Johnny or Jimmy has a friend, Thomas, and Thomas can't play that day. Well, we need to find another friend that is really, will tell him the truth and be honest and not be manipulative and all that. We need to find another friend besides Thomas, because Thomas can't play, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's say, Andy comes into town. Where am I getting all these names from? Andy comes into town, and he's a real nice boy, so we need to, but what we really need to do is make sure that Andy is just like Thomas, honest and true and all that, and not deceptive, okay? So, you know, make sure of all that, okay? So he has two friends, so that's good.
So just knowing your kid and just, yes, if they have trustworthy friends, then yes, it is great. And we don't need 5 or 10.
Nope.
We just.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. And the same thing with, say his special interest. I wanted to get to special interest too.
Yeah.
Special interest, you know, make sure, you know, he has some people that like the same things he does or she does.
Yeah.
There's a girl, Rachel. she's autistic and finds, and say the friend's autistic too. Who cares if they're autistic? It's fine. Because, you know, truth be told, it would have been great if I had some autistic friends.
Yeah.
But you know what? That didn't work out that way now, did it? if she finds, let's say she likes, I can't.
Art, tennis.
Tennis, whatever. Art, tennis. Well, let's just, for fun, she likes opera. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's say that, I'll just say it. Lace moves into town. I had to do that for fun. And she happens to like opera too. Well, there we go. We got, and then another one moves into town. And yeah, there's 3 autistic people that like opera. There we go. You know, and if they're not, that's good too, but we have to check them out to make sure that they're honest people, because they can hide behind, there's a veneer of truth, and then, you know, take that veneer off.
Yeah.
You know, and some shady stuff is going on, and we don't want that.
Yeah.
Right? So just have to know your kids, and we have to know we have to make sure we know the parents of these kids.
Yes, I think that's very important for any kid, right?
Yeah, for any kids, not just autistic kids, but make sure we know them all, because, you know, never know.
And they're trustworthy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else you'd like to know?
Well, I just, after talking to you, how you look at being autistic and just look at it as a superpower. And you're telling me you do, you have a personal trainer that comes to your house, how you've just owned it and love yourself. And I love that about you and just how you've come to that. Or maybe you've just always been like that, just a very positive person. Cause I am not sometimes, I'll be honest.
I had to go through that grieving process of, you know what? I don't want to say faking, but I've been masking being a neurotypical. Now I have to be this person, you know, I've been being this neurotypical, and now who, it was just, it's like, who am I? You know, who am I? And now I have to find out who I am, because I had to be this person that everybody wanted me to be, you know? And there's that, you know, that thing that a lot of things that I did miss out on because I wasn't accepted. So, yeah, there's that grief and loss. But, you know, as soon as I started to take the mask off and finally be me, there's the lovely people at Westover that you know, when I told them about me, because I didn't know at first, but when I did tell them, that's what I mean. But when I did tell them, they accepted it.
Yeah.
And they still do. You know what I mean?
I love that. Uh-huh.
They still do. And that's what I love. It's not like, well, you weren't autistic yesterday, you know? And, you know, that's what I mean by that change, you know? Well, you weren't autistic yesterday,
yeah,
you know? you weren't that yesterday. Why all the change today? Because, you know, some people get like that. And that's what I want to tell the parents that have even teenagers to try not to do that, because they're still the same person, no matter how you take it, they're still the same person. Uh-huh. All right. Still the same person. They're just autistic. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're still the same person. And they're not broken. I'm not broken either. And I want to say, you know, thank you so much for allowing me to speak to you all today. I appreciate it so much. And I want to say again, people that are neurodivergent, whether they be autistic or whatever it may be, we might not say what neurotypicals say. We might not act how neurotypicals act. That doesn't make it wrong. That just makes it different.